Father, we thank you that you are the miracle worker. That God, that you're still in the miracle working business. That God, that even when we don't see it and we don't feel it, Lord, you're still working, and we praise you for that. Lord, that you are our God, that you are faithful. Even if we remain unfaithful, Lord, that you are faithful, and we praise you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you called us to serve you and honor you with our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We're continuing looking at our series on the seven laws of the harvest taken out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In there it talks about how the passage we read this morning, whatever man sows, he shall also reap. And as we look at that passage of Scripture there, we understand that it helps us to see that God is faithful to us as we remain faithful to him. He says there in the Scripture that we must not get tired doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we do not give up. We will reap what we sow. Do not be deceived that God is not mocked. That means that God can't be tricked. Now, a lot of us try to trick God. You ever try to trick God? Sometimes, like, we try to trick our parents. We were kids, you know, and we would try to trick our parents, but they knew the truth. God knows the truth, and we can't trick him. But here we're going to look at these, out of this passage of Scripture here, that we have to understand there are seven different laws that are in that Scripture. The first is, we reap much we did not sow. We get the experience, things that are joys and are peace and are hope in our life that maybe we did not pay for. There was many people who served in the military that gave their lives for us that can't celebrate some of the things that we get to celebrate. They gave their lives so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. That we have the freedoms to enjoy the world in which we live. Now, I think there's some people that have forgotten that. I think there's some of our leadership that have forgotten that, that what it means to have these things given to us as a gift. We get that gift of what someone else has sown in our life. We also get the gift of what someone spiritually has sown in our life. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a dad. Maybe it was a mom. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. But someone sowed into your life the truth of the gospel, and because of the truth of the gospel, you get to benefit that today. Someone sowed this church many years ago. And as this church was sown many years ago, we get to reap the benefits of that. Almost 4 years ago, this building was built. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. But you get to reap the benefits of what somebody did that went before you. We praise God for that. And God is still in that business of working through that and doing those things. The second, we reap the same kind as we sow. Whatever we plant, that's what we're going to get. You can't plant a crop and expect to get something else. You know, it's that same statement that I said then. Sometimes we plant our wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. It doesn't work that way, right? Whatever you plant, you're going to get. Whatever you put in your life, whatever as you do, you're going to get that back. So it's the same kind. It's not something different than what you're going to get. The third thing that we see, the law, we reap in different season than when we sow. It's not automatic. It's not like I plant today and I get it today. I not plant today and get it tomorrow. Sometime it's a whole different season that we reap what we have sown. Whether it be joy, whether it be peace, whether it be goodness, or whether it be bad things in our life. Whatever we sow is eventually going to come. Sometimes it's slower, sometimes it's quickly, but it's going to come. The fourth thing is we reap more than we sow. Whatever we plant, we don't expect to plant one seed and get one thing. We expect to plant. We expect that plant to grow, and that plant multiplies and makes more. And so in our life, if we plant evil, evil's going to come back more. If we plant good, good is going to come back more to us. Not immediately, but sometime in the future it's going to come, and it'll be more than what we sow. We Law 5, we reap in proportion as we sow. The more we sow, the more we get. So that's the thing. If you're going to want a big crop, you got to plant more. And the more you plant, the more you can expect. If you plant one plant, then all you're going to get is whatever that one plant can produce. But the more you plant, the more you're going to get. And I know this is talking about agriculture, and most of us aren't agriculturally minded these days. But in that day and time, they understood what Paul was saying because there was such an agrarian society. But it still tells us today that whatever we do, whether we plant a plant or whether we plant the fruit of the Spirit, whether we plant financially, whatever we plant, we can expect God to bless that and to bless us through that. Now today we look at law number 6. Law number 6 says, we reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest its own. So the law here is the law of perseverance. The law of perseverance. That means, persevering means to keep on keeping on no matter what. Don't quit. Don't give up. Look what he says here. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest its own. He's saying to us that it is happening. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God has planned that this earth will keep on keeping on until the day God says it's over. And until that time, we must trust in Him to do that. And He says, don't grow weary in doing good. The proper time will come in the harvest if we do not give up. If you ever want to give up, if you ever want to just quit, to throw in the towel and say, enough, I can't take anymore. I think there's many of us that get to that point sometimes. Someday we wake up and we feel that way. What's the use? What difference does it make? Why do I keep trying this and I don't see anything? God says, keep persevering. Keep persevering. Don't give up. You will reap a harvest if you do not come. The harvest always comes to us. I remember growing up, my dad always planted a garden. I did not like going out and working in the garden. I did not like going out plowing. I did not like going out hoeing. I did not like going out pulling the weeds. I did not like doing all those things. But I sure did like fresh strawberries. I sure did like fresh tomatoes. I sure did like fresh squash. And some are going, nah, squash. I sure did like fresh corn. I sure did like the potatoes that came out of the ground and those things. I love those things. But those did not come unless we planted and we persevered and we watered and we hoed and we took care of it until the time the harvest came and came for us. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, we may not see it now, but we must persevere. We can't quit. It's real easy sometimes to say, enough. I just quit. I don't want to keep on. I don't want to try anymore. That's why the Bible tells us to encourage each other, because sometimes there may be someone sitting beside you. There may be someone that you love, someone that you've met here in church that's going through a struggle, going through a difficult time. Maybe they feel like it just nothing is going right in their life. And that's why the Bible says we got to encourage them. We don't want them to give up. Maybe it's not you that's wanting to give up. Or maybe it's someone you know. And you got to encourage them. And you got to keep on encouraging them. He says, we reap the full harvest of good only if we persevere. I want to take us to a passage of Scripture where Jesus shared a parable. In Matthew chapter 13, I think that helps us see a little bit of this persevering and doing that. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came, and he sowed weeds among the wheat, and he went away. But when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant said, Do you want us to go and pull them up and pull them all up? No, he said, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn. Then we go down to verse 36, and he said, Then he left the crowd and went to the house. His disciples came to him and said, Can you explain the parable that you just gave? He said, The one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvest are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all that do evil. They will throw them in the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There are several things that we must understand out of this parable, and I think it helps us understand the sowing and the harvesting. The first thing, that two kinds of people have been sown into this world. There's two kinds of people that live in the world in which we're in. Today, the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one dwell together on earth. We're here. We're in an evil world. This world, although God loves it, although God has a plan for it, it is, at this point in time, an evil world. It does have good, but it also has a lot of evil. You can see that every day. The things that we experience, turn on the news for 2 minutes and you can see the evil. The evil is here. It's there. The devil has sown those things. Now, what happens is this. The devil has not been yet put away. One of these days he will be put away. But until that day comes, we got to live in a world that has evil in it. We're going to live in a world where there are those who are doing everything contrary to the Word of God, everything contrary to the plans of God. And it seems that this time right now the weeds are winning, doesn't it? Seems like the weeds are growing and growing and getting more and more. But let me tell you what, not only are the weeds growing, but the good are growing too. The good is growing. I have a friend who's the manager of a camp down in Texas, at Highland Lakes Baptist Camp. But this past week, I got a report from him. He said, man, we had a great youth camp. Pray for our young people who left early this morning. They're going to be at youth camp at Glorieta this week. But at that youth camp last week, he said, man, God is moving in young people here. He said 52 young people gave their life to Christ last week at that camp. 52 young people. But he said, that ain't the good thing. He said 56 young people surrendered their life to full-time Christian service, who say, I want to be a preacher, song leaders, worship leaders, missionaries, serving God however he wants me to serve. Folks, God is doing something. God is doing something. It's getting closer to the end time, and we know the evil will grow more at the end, but also the good's going to grow more and more at the end. And we praise God for that and doing that. Why then does evil exist in this world? Here's the short answer. Jesus permits it. What do you mean Jesus permits it? If it's evil, how can Jesus be a part of it? I didn't say he was a part of it. I said Jesus permits it. Until that day and the final consummation of this earth, Jesus said there will be difficulties. There will be problems. But Jesus permits it. He acknowledges that this world is full of sin and sinners. For this moment, he refuses to do anything about it. I was speaking with a young man this morning, and he said this. He said, man, he said, I saw what God did at Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I wonder if he's going to do that again, the way that evil is going. Will God come and destroy? He saw what he did at the Tower of Babel, where he destroyed the people and threw them out. He saw what he did in the days of Noah, in which he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Will that happen? Yes, one day it will. But before that happens, there's going to be a harvesting that's going to take place. look what, again, Matthew 13, verse 27 said, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the seeds come from? And an enemy did this, he replied. The servant said, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he said, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. See, Jesus permits evil to remain in this world for your eternal benefit and mine. There are those that God has put his call upon their life. And if God came right now and he pulled up the evil ones, it would hurt those who God's call has been placed in their life for salvation. And so God says, wait, there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. It's going to happen and it's going to come. Remember that. If Jesus judged the world right now, some of the people God has marked might be lost. But he's marked them. That's why Jesus said, don't pull up the weeds now, because you might pull up some of the wheat with it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 puts it this way. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If the kingdom of heaven has come to this world through Christ, it's not because God is lax. God is not saying, well, who cares? No, God's saying, it's one day. But I'm not going to do it until it's my time and it's my money. He will not permit it to remain forever. One day, a day of judgment's coming. One day, a day is coming. Some people deny it. Some people mock it. But on multiple occasions, Jesus warned that it's true and it's coming. There will come a day of reckoning. The final day, on that day, all humanity will be divided in one of two groups. And that's it. There's not going to be a third group. There's only one or two groups. On that day, we're not going to be worried about so many of the things that we're worried about today. We're not going to be worried about whether you're pretty, whether you're plain. It won't matter whether you're clumsy or athletic. It won't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're called a success or a failure, whether you were educated or illiterate. On that day, only one thing's going to matter. Are you wheat or are you a weed? Do you know Christ or do you not know him? That's the only thing that's going to matter. All those other things aren't going to matter anymore. And there's only one way to know that you are a wheat, that you know Christ, and that is by trusting in what he has done for you on the cross, that he has died for your salvation and paid for your salvation in that way. Yeah. Are you a child of the kingdom? Are you a child of the evil one? The farmer has to know his enemies. He has to know if he's going to outsmart them. He has to understand those things. Now, the same applies to the kingdom of God. We got to know our enemies, what is out there. Because the enemy is going to come. He's going to sow things in our life. He's going to put things. The devil has no new plan, same old plan. He's going to continue to try to plant evil in this world, to try to mess up those who are trying to walk with him. Let me look at a few of our enemies that can erode our soul, that can steal from us and take away some things. Just like in your garden, you got to go out there and you got to try to weed out things and keep those things out. But they take the nutrients that the plant really needs. Well, some of those things, number one is, is busyness. Our tradition. The Greek word for tradition is paradosis. It's also the root word for surrender. It gets to the core of the matter. You'll either give yourself to God or you give yourself to something else. Busyness. Busyness. Busyness does two things. It produces hypocrites, is one of the things it does. It's possible to look right and sound right and yet be entirely wrong. To talk love and not love, to speak forgiveness and not forgive. Beware of lip service and not heart service. The second thing it does, it hinders our real worship. We can get so busy. My wife uses an illustration out of the word busy, and maybe you've heard it before. Busy stands for being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. We can get so busy, sometimes doing good things. They're great things and they're important things. But they should never take the place of God. Because if they take the place of His kingdom and His work, they are taking what belongs to Him. And it is not good. Jesus said, more radical understanding of spirituality than the people embraced in that day. He moves them from external to internal. Jesus said, it's not about what we do on the outside. It's what you are on the inside. You see, we can fake people out on the outside. It's easy to do that. You can make people think that everything's good in your life. You can make people think you're spiritual. You can pray the best prayers. You can carry around the biggest Bible. You can do all those things. But what's really going on in your heart? What's really going on in the inside? Because that's what Jesus looks at. That's what He finds in us. The second thing besides busyness, it produces barrenness. Barrenness. It means that our works are nothing. Barrenness, emptiness. It means that nothing's happened. We're not producing the fruit. Now, if you planted a garden and you had a great garden, you said, man, I got a great garden here, things are great, but it has beautiful plants, they flower, they bloom, but you never got anything off of those plants. What would you think? Man, I got a beautiful garden, but it doesn't produce any fruit, doesn't produce any vegetables. Why? Because something's wrong. It's called barrenness. In our lives, we may look good on the outside, but when it comes to measuring the fruit of love, joy, peace, goodness, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, there's not there. It's not there in our life. Barrenness. Another thing that hampers us besides busyness and barrenness is blemishes. What a tragedy that religious people would ignorantly practice their religion and become worse for doing it. But it happens too often. We practice our religion. We carry around a big Bible. We do a lot of good things. But guess what? There's blemishes in our life. They're not worth anything. They're empty. It's like if you went out to your garden and said, man, I got a really pretty tomato on my vine. And you got ready to take a big bite of it, and there's a big old worm pokes his head out. And you go, whoo, there's a worm in my tomato here. I don't think I want this one. You see, in our Christian life, often there's worms. They're blemishes. There are things that are there that shouldn't be, and they hinder us and hurt us in our life. Now, persevering that He gives us here is working. It's keeping on, keeping on. Keeping on. Whatever God calls us to do is not quitting. That's what He says. He said, you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't quit. It's one of the major laws that He gave here. It's persevering and working, persevering in the midst of weeds. When other things seem to come and choke you out, it's like, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on keeping on, giving it my best shot. Always. Always. A few years ago, a scientist did an experiment in a lab, and he decided he was going to try to do an experiment to see if something would work. And he took a huge piece of steel bar and he hung it by a chain and hung it from the ceiling. And it weighed 1,000 pounds. And he hung this up by the ceiling and he said, I want to see what kind of effect I can make on this bar. And so he took a little thread and he took a small cork, just a little small cork, and he had it fixed where this little thread was on a spinner, and the cork would come and it would hit the side of the steel bar. Over and over and over again. He came in the next morning and he looked and the cork was still moving back and forth and the bar was perfectly still. Well, I guess it doesn't work. But he said, you know what? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to let it keep trying. Comes in the next day, nothing. Steel bar hadn't moved. Comes in the next day, nothing. Steel bar hadn't moved. He comes in the next day and he sees just a tiny tingling in that steel bar. comes in the next day and it's moving just a slightly, just a little bit more. And the next day and the next day, and every day he came, he saw that bar moving just a little bit more. After a month, that steel bar was moving back and forth by feet, all because of that one little tiny cork. Look it up if you don't believe me. I ain't making this up. All because of that one little tiny cork that was persistent, persistent, persistent. That's what persevering is. It's staying persistent. Well, I've prayed and nothing's happened. Keep on praying. I hope and nothing happened. Keep on hoping. I shared and nothing happened. Keep on sharing. Keep on keeping on. That's what perseverance is about. Because one of these days, you may not see it and you may not know it, but your one little tiny small life can change everything. You stick with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're at the point you're saying, throw in the towel. I'm through. And God says, I'm going to throw the towel back, wipe your face off, let's get going. We're going to keep on keeping on. Until the day Christ comes back, we must never quit keeping on keeping on. Are you there? It's hard. It's difficult. There's some mornings you wake up and you go, oh, Lord, I don't even feel like getting out of bed. Maybe that was this morning, but you did. Because God wanted you to hear this message. He wanted you to hear that you need to keep on. You will reap if you faint not. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one of these days. Because that's a promise of God and His Word. And God is not slack concerning His promise. God will deliver, for sure. Bow your head with me this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that You help us to keep on keeping on, not quit. Never stop. Lord, because You are the way maker, and Lord, we know this, that even when we don't see it, You're working. Even when we don't feel it, You're working. You never stop working. Lord, You're the way maker. You're the promise keeper. You're the miracle worker. And we trust You and depend upon You as we persevere in everything. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.